Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Today we have reached hadith 36, whoever relieves a believer.
الحديث السادس والثلاثون عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة، ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة، ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة، والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه، ومن سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه فيما بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وذكرهم الله في من عنده، ومن أبطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. رواه مسلم بهذا اللفظ.
On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who said, whoever relieves a believer's distress of the distressful aspects of this world, Allah will rescue him from a difficulty of the difficulties of the hereafter. Whoever alleviates the situation of one in dire straits who cannot repay his debt, Allah will alleviate his lot in both this world and the hereafter. Whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this life and the hereafter. Allah is helping the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. Whoever follows a path in order to seek knowledge thereby, Allah will make easy for him, due to it, a path to paradise. No people gather together in a house of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it among themselves, except that tranquility is descended upon them, mercy covers them, the angels surround them, and Allah makes mention of them to those in His presence. Whoever is slowed down by his deeds will not be hastened forward by his lineage. Recorded by Muslim with that wording. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith is closely related to the previous hadith in that it states some of the most important acts that strengthen the Islamic Brotherhood. In fact, this hadith is one of the most important hadith encouraging Muslims to help one another in their worldly lives. They should help one another by removing hardships, being easy with others in times of debt, concealing each other's faults and mistakes, and generally assisting one another in what is good. When a Muslim does these kinds of acts, Allah will reward him in a similar fashion. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith encourages the Muslim to strive after knowledge, as this striving is a way to finding the path to Jannah, to paradise. And of course, the most important means of attaining knowledge is the study of the Qur'an, as the study of the Qur'an is an act that is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith addresses that if deeds like the ones mentioned in this hadith are not present and the person has not done what it takes to enter Jannah, to enter paradise, his lineage or his family, no matter how noble or wealthy, will be of no help to him at all. Now we'll start with the first part of the hadith.
من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة.
Whoever relieves a believer's distress of the distressful aspects of this world, Allah will rescue him from a difficulty of the difficulties of the hereafter. Now the word here, my dear brothers and sisters, nafasa, which has been translated as relieves, actually means to lighten or to relieve the burden. And my dear brothers and sisters, the word used here for distress is qurba. Now this word qurba means that which distresses the soul and preoccupies the mind. And in this world, many things can be described as falling under this, as a person could face difficulties, problems and challenges almost every day in his life, which will cause him to be distressed and which preoccupy his mind. So my dear brothers and sisters, if a Muslim truly seeks to please Allah, his attitude toward his brother should not simply be a passive one. In other words, it should not be sufficient for him that he does not harm his brother in any way. Beyond that, he should actively seek to help his brother and remove from him any difficulties that he might be facing. If he does so, Allah will reward him in a similar fashion. And this is once again one of those many pieces of evidence that demonstrate that the reward for an action is of the same nature as the action itself. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. Hence, if someone removes a difficulty from someone else, his reward will be to have a difficulty removed from himself. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, demonstrates the importance of fulfilling the need of one's brother. This type of deed, with its great reward, is open to many Muslims because it can be accomplished by using one's knowledge, wealth, or authority. It may also be by simply advising him to what is best or guiding him to something good. It could also be by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the other person and relieve him of his distress. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَىٰ مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
Whoever alleviates the situation of one in dire straits who cannot repay his debt, Allah will alleviate his lot in both this world and the hereafter. My dear brothers and sisters, relieving a brother of his debt is an act that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this obviously also has implications of strengthening the brotherhood. And there are basically two ways by which one can relieve a person's debt and gain the blessings mentioned in this hadith. First, the loaner can wait until the brother who owns him money has the means to repay the debt. A second option is to reduce the debt or to forgive the debt completely. And both these actions are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. And they are very virtuous actions. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that there was a trader who used to give loans to the people. If he noticed that one was in tough circumstances, he would tell his boy who was working for him, excuse him so that Allah may overlook and forgive our sins for us. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooked his sins and forgave him. And this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
Whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this life and the hereafter. My dear brothers and sisters, concealing the faults of your brother and sister in Islam is a great action. And this has also been mentioned in other hadith as well, such as the following hadith found in Sunan Ibn Majah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever conceals his Muslim brother's private affairs will have Allah conceal his private affairs on the day of resurrection. And whoever uncovers or exposes his Muslim brother's private affairs will have Allah uncover his private affairs to the point that he will expose what occurred in his house." And this hadith was declared sahih in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, according to Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "O gathering who believe with their tongues, but faith has yet to enter their hearts, do not backbite the Muslims, and do not search for their private matters. Whoever searches for their private matters will have Allah follow up his private matters. And whose private matters Allah follows, he will expose him, even if his act were done in his house." This hadith is found in Musnad Ahmad and Sunan Abi Dawood, and according to Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, it is sahih. My dear brothers and sisters, as we know, a true believer would not like the mistakes and faults of others to be made public and to be spoken about publicly. If a person has made a mistake, it is not good that his sin be told to everyone and that his sins be broadcast publicly. And when a person is happy with such events, it is a sign that he has shortcomings in his iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah An-Nur, ayah 19,
إِنَّ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا
Verily those who like the lewd, sinful acts should be propagated among those who believe, they will have a painful torment in this world and in the hereafter. So a Muslim should not only cover and conceal his own faults, but he should also cover and conceal the faults of his fellow Muslims as well. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ.
Allah is helping the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. Or Allah will aid the servant of his so long as the servant aids his brother. So my dear brothers and sisters, in hadith 25 and 26, we spoke about the virtues of helping one another and fulfilling each other's needs. And in this particular hadith, there is another example of being rewarded in a manner similar to the nature of one's deeds. So as long as you are helping your brother and sister in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and aid you and assist you. And as Muslims, we should always help and cooperate upon goodness and righteousness. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 2,
وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ.
Help or cooperate with one another in acts of piety and righteousness, and do not assist one another in acts of sinfulness and transgression. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ.
Ever follows a path in order to seek knowledge thereby, Allah will make easy for him due to it a path to paradise. So my dear brothers and sisters, whoever seeks Islamic knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and takes the path thereby, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him or her the path to paradise, the path to Jannah, easier. The path of knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters, is the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this knowledge is sought sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge is acted upon. As for the one who truly acts upon his knowledge, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon him new knowledge that he did not possess. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى.
And Allah increases in guidance those who walk aright. This ayah is found in Surah Maryam, ayah 76. So my dear brothers and sisters, as the Quran and Sunnah indicate, the one who seeks knowledge is following the best and easiest path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the path to paradise, the path to Jannah, will be made easy for him in both this life and the hereafter. We ask Allah to increase us in knowledge, action and sincerity. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وذكرهم الله في من عنده.
No people gathered together in a house of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it among themselves, except that tranquility is descended upon them, mercy covers them, the angels surround them, and Allah makes mention of them to those in His presence. My dear brothers and sisters, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith mentioned the importance of seeking knowledge, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned one of the greatest means by which knowledge is attained, and that is the reading and studying of the Quran. This also implies, my dear brothers and sisters, that if one seriously reads and studies the Quran, the path to paradise will be made easy for him. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith demonstrates the great blessings that come about through the reading and studying of the Quran. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. But as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, the purpose of the Quran is not simply its recitation. The purpose of reading is to ponder over its meanings and to understand it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sa'd, ayah 29,
كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ
This is a book that we have revealed to you, full of blessings, that they may ponder over its ayat, its verses, and that men of understanding may remember. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the purpose of understanding is to apply it, as the Quran is either a proof for a person or a proof against a person. When a person understands it, meaning the Quran, and applies it, it takes him along the path to paradise. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned here studying the Quran in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shows the blessings of the houses of Allah and that they are the best places upon this earth. And he also mentioned ﷺ four rewards for those who gather to recite the book of Allah and to study it. And these four rewards are tranquility descending. And this is a great reward, which includes relief from stress and being calm. Also, the mercy of Allah over them or covering them and the angels surrounding them. And finally, Allah making mention of them amongst those who are in His presence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What great virtues these are. What great favors these are. We ask Allah to allow us to be from the people who benefit and attain these great favors and rewards. Moving on to the final part of the hadith.
وَمَنْ أَبْطَأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ.
Whoever is slowed down by his deeds will not be hastened forward by his lineage. My dear brothers and sisters, all of mankind comes from the same source. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 1,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء
O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul, and created from it its mate, and from them spread forth many men and women. My dear brothers and sisters, all people share this common lineage, and they have all been created for the same purpose, and they are all expected to heed the guidance that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, my dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing naturally or inborn that separates one human from another. There is no difference other than superficial ones between a white man and a black man, an Arab or a non-Arab. The only thing that is going to distinguish them is their taqwa that is in their hearts and which is manifested in their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah 13,
yeah.
O mankind, we have created you from a male and female, and we have made you into nations and tribes, so that you may recognize one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, on the Day of Judgment, all human beings will stand alone in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, my dear brothers and sisters, all of the worldly blood ties and relations will be forgotten and will mean nothing. Everyone will just care about themselves and will be worried about themselves. They will not be coming to the aid of others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that day in the following words. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 101, Then, when the trumpet is blown, there'll be no kingship among them that day, nor will they ask about one another. My dear brothers and sisters, the only thing that will help us on that day will be our iman and our good deeds that we performed in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for all there will be ranks according to what they did, and your Lord is not unaware of what they do. My dear brothers and sisters, if a person himself did not work for paradise, then he's not going to be blessed with it due to what others have done, no matter how close their blood relationship may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah An-Najm, ayah 39, men can have nothing but what they strive for. And as we have mentioned before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised his own family and warned his own family. He said to them, O gathering of Quraysh, purchase your own souls, for I cannot save you from Allah. O tribe of Abd Manaf, I cannot save you from Allah. O Abbas bin Abd al-Muttalib, I cannot save you from Allah. O Safiya, the aunt of the Messenger of Allah, I cannot save you from Allah. O Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, ask me what you will of my wealth, but I cannot save you from Allah. This hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So my dear brothers and sisters, after Iman, we need to act. We need to have actions. And I need to be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what will benefit us on the day of judgment. To summarize and conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, we benefit from this hadith that the reward for deeds is of the same nature as the deeds themselves. Therefore, if a Muslim relieves his brother of some distress, Allah will relieve him of some greater distress in the hereafter. If a person alleviates a person's debt, Allah will alleviate a difficult situation for him. If a person conceals his brother's sins, Allah will conceal his sins. Indeed, if a Muslim is helping his brother in any way, then Allah will be helping him as long as he is helping his brother. We also learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that the path to paradise is made easy by seeking knowledge. Through knowledge, one can recognize that path and can have the qualities in the heart that will lead him to follow that path. We also learn from this hadith that gathering together to read and study the Quran is one of the most important means of attaining knowledge. It is a deed that is very pleasing to Allah and has many benefits associated with it. And finally, we learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that if a person's deeds are not sufficient to earn him entrance into paradise, his lineage, no matter how noble, will not be able to assist him in any way. And with that we conclude, Wallahu A'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.